Hey, what's up, bar folks? Welcome back, man, to the Bar Podcast. Another Tuesday coming through your speakers, your earbuds. You know the rest, baby. It's your boy. We in here. So this is a throwback episode, man. This is an episode where I interview the guys from Cultish. The Cultish Podcast guys, man. Super cool guys. This is from 2021, man. We had a really good conversation. Those guys are still doing their thing, man, when it comes to analyzing cults and putting out really good content, man. That's the thing that drew me to them. They really put out really good quality content, and they really do their research, and they put a lot of work into what they do, man. So shout out to those guys, man. This episode, we had fun like we always do on the Bar Podcast, man. So make sure you check them out. Enjoy this episode. Leave a review. Screenshot your player. Let people know you like the throwback. We might need to move the show to Thursday. Throwback Thursday. I don't know. But also, I want to let you guys know, man, that we're going to have a guest host, man. My man David from Exposit the Word is going to be a guest host on the Bar Podcast. So if you tune in, the intro music is the same, but that voice that comes on right at the intro music might be a little different. If it's different, don't panic. Don't worry. We got a guest host, man, and he's going to fill my shoes as things kind of roll in my career. And I figure out how we're going to work and operate this, man. He's going to fill in for me, and I'm super excited for him to do that. And I know you guys are going to enjoy him because he's a great guy, my brother David. And one more thing, man, I want to shout out Nick, my audio director. I just gave him a promotion right here. And I also want to shout out Jessica Clark. She's doing the video stuff on YouTube, man. So I don't know what God is doing with this podcast, man, but I'm just super grateful that I was able to do it for this many years. And so many people are reaching out to help. And I thank you guys for staying subscribed and listening to the bar, man. So till next time. Oh, never mind. Check out this episode.
To the bar, come on and pull up a seat and open up your Bible. What a wonderful feast, the living bread, and we're discussing what it means for the streets, the inner cities and the burbs, and every person we meet. This is where we challenge worldviews that we hear from world news. In light of the scripture, we are here to serve you. We're your source for resources to help you on your way as you battle mean forces. This is for the people who can see the importance of sound theology and the scripture that support it. And this is for the truth lovers, biblically reforming, preaching Christ to the nations. Yeah, welcome to the modern reformation. Yeah,
the bar, biblical and reformed.
Welcome everybody to the bar. It's your boy Dwayne in the building, right back in here another Tuesday. Super excited as always to be coming through your speakers, through your earbuds, wherever you listen to the bar. We're grateful that you are listening. And like I do every week, I love to start the show by thanking the listeners. Appreciate you guys listening to the bar, rocking with the bar, shouting out the bar, checking us out, man. It's just been an awesome ride, man. I've been doing this for 4 years, and every year is always fun, man. I love coming through your speakers every Tuesday. And like I do every week, I bring in awesome guests. This awesome guest, I'm telling you guys, not just one, it's actually two. I've been listening to him for a while, and I just had to stalk him on Instagram to get him on the show. But we finally have the brothers from Cultish. So what's up, Andrew? What's up, Jeremiah? How y'all brothers doing, man?
We're doing good, man. We're super excited to talk to you.
Super excited.
Super excited to talk to you about all things Cultish, and what a Cultish year it's been.
It has. Even though this episode probably won't drop to 2021, I'm sure it's going to be pretty Cultish then as well.
Yeah. Showing no signs of slowing.
Exactly. So let's jump right in, man. I like to, in the beginning, allow everyone to kind of introduce themselves. So I'm going to start with you, Andrew. Trying to introduce yourself, tell a little bit about you. And Jeremiah, you come in on the back end, and we just kind of go back and forth like that.
Yeah. So I'm the super sleuth from Cultish, and I've been blessed to be able to talk about Jesus and the glorious truth of the gospel over podcast format. And it's been a blessing for the last 2 years. I was raised Christian, but you know, my teenage years, I was definitely like the prodigal son, but the Lord drew me back in when I was a little bit older, and I'm saved by grace through faith. So that's me in a nutshell. That's the super sleuth.
That's the LinkedIn bio. That's the Instagram bio description.
Right, yeah, there. That's my Instagram bio.
So same with me. Like, I grew up in a Christian household, and I kind of just always knew things intellectually. My first exposure to the cults was going to a school that was about 98% Mormon. So that was sort of the first time I sort of stepped outside my group of yes men, because I was just kind of a sheltered, homeschooled, nerdy kid and all that sort of fun stuff. Through that process, when I was learning about Mormonism, my older sister gave me a book called Letters to a Mormon Elder, which just so happened, some of you may have heard of James White. Well, that was really the first book on apologetics I ever read. Now, while I wasn't a Christian at the time, I am really confident that kind of gave me the real foundation, fundamental foundations of, I think, I remember this chapter to this day, almost his heart, What is Truth? Chapter 1 of Letters to a Mormon Elder. And it wasn't until about a year later, after I went to the school, where I had a near-death death experience that made me really question whether or not I was a Christian or not. And that really led me to saving faith in Christ. And so I've known Jeff Durbin for about 20-something years. We have a long history, that extended history that includes a lot of ministry to the cults. About 2 years ago, Jeff kind of, now a little over 2 years, probably about 3 years ago, Jeff reached out to me, talked about focusing on a ministry of Apologia Studios that's strictly focused to the cults. And I was like, well, let's do a podcast, just nothing about cults, because Apologia Studios, Apologia Radio had done stuff about that, but it was just, it was becoming more of a broad variety. And now primarily a lot of their focus is on End Abortion Now and a lot of other social topics and things like that. So, we came up with the idea Cultish, and we launched back in October of 2018. And, you know, from the very get-go, it was really the main influence behind the podcast. The person that had a huge influence on it was the late Dr. Walter Martin. Mm-hmm. Not only was he a brilliant in regards to apologetics, but communicating very complex and controversial issues in a very way to the native tongue. And not only was he brilliant as far as communicating and apologetics wise, he was known as kind of like a walking library. One of these days, man, you need to listen to this audio series called Walter Martin Under Fire, where he just takes questions rapid fire. But he was also just completely brilliant in regards to media distribution. You know, you think about your podcast and the audience that you have. You know, we have our audience that, you know, our last episode with it. And this is not to say brag about anything like that, to show you like what's possible with the medium that we have right now. The last episode we did on the Enneagram, just downloads alone was around 16,000. Mm-hmm. So, and those are people all around the world. So that means that there's this controversial subject that we get to be salt and light to. We get to have one conversation, 16,000 people plus people listen to that in the first week. And in many ways, Walter Martin really did that with tape distribution and just audio cassettes and media distribution. And so in many ways, Cultish is a direct result of Dr. Walter Martin's ministry. And and so it's amazing to see, you know, the godly legacy that he had allowing a podcast like this to be out there. So, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you ran right into my next question, which is cool. I'm cool with that, because I was going to ask, you know, what was the kind of the inspiration, what started, and I appreciate you talking about it. I got mad respect for Walter Martin. That actually was one of the first books I actually read. Like, I'm not an avid reader. My wife bought, I can't even remember the name of it, but it was one of those, something about cult or the occult. I can't remember.
Kingdom of the Occult.
Kingdom of the Occult.
Yes, there you go. That's the first book, because that stuff intrigued me, man. And big, you know, much respect for the things that he's done, and definitely, you know, love hearing about numbers. Never be ashamed or feel like you're bragging when you're talking about doing the work for God, man, because it's not for our glory, it's for his glory. So I want to throw that out there, because I always throw out just thinking numbers. And of course, I'm not bragging. I'm just talking about the work. But anyway.
Amen.
Andrew, let's get to you, man, because Jeremiah kind of took up the first half of the show. So we're going to just talk to you for the second half. I'm just kidding. But so we kind of got a genesis of the show. I mean, of the idea. How did you get pulled in? What right. Was there anything in your background that kind of led you in this direction?
Yeah. So I had relationships with LDS people as well. You know, growing up in Arizona, that just tends to happen.
Right.
And so the way I found Apologia pretty much was I was at work and I was wanting to Google just like some debates between an LDS person and a Christian. And of course, Apologia's videos popped up and I was like, oh, that looks like the LDS temple out here and all of that. And I started watching the videos and I was like, it is. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Jeff's actually a pastor out here. So I was like, you know, talking to my wife, I was like, we got to go to this church. But once we go to this church, this is the real deal. You know what I mean? Like, this is apologetics. So I started going, and actually, I think the second person I met at Apologia was Jerry. And I knew who he was because after I found out about Apologia, I like binge listened to all the Apologia radio episodes and all of this stuff. But I met Jerry and he actually introduced himself to me by saying he actually controls the Apologia Studios Instagram. Like, he was super proud of it. He was like super proud of that. And I was like, you sound like Nostradamus. So if anyone's listening and they don't know Jerry's like OG nickname, it's actually Nostradamus. And he's really good at impersonations. But anyways, so Jerry and I just started talking and we start talking about cults. And that's one thing I've always been super, super interested in. I was already reading Kingdom of the Cults. I was just trying to sharpen my apologetic and I was already doing research. And Jerry and I just like naturally had conversations. I'm like, oh, dude, I've already written like 30 pages on Oneness Pentecostals. Let's talk about it, you know? Yeah. So it was like a weird natural relationship that God brought together.
I noticed that Andrew is having the skill set as we were talking. I would bring up a topic and next thing you know, it would be like, remember the original Matrix, the guy Tank, he would say like, Neo's like guns, lots of guns. And I was like, hey, give me some research. Like, what do you think about this about Jim Jones, like from 1970 to 1971? And next thing you know, there'd be this 5-page outline. I'm like, goodness gracious, what's going on here? But you know, that just worked out and in timely. So, and Andrew was initially the researcher of the show. And this is just funny with the timely. If you remember about, it was about 2 years ago that Jeff had a seizure and Jeff was helping me. At that time, Jeff and I were co-hosting it. Right. And it just so happened that it was like, well, what am I going to do? My co-host is in the hospital and we had just launched this show. And I just said, hey, Andrew, why don't you come on?
Oh,
and that began from then on, he's been my co-host ever since.
Yeah. You can listen to our first episode where it's just Jerry and I is through Jones colored glasses. And those are some of my favorite episodes, to be honest. Like, yeah, I love them.
Yeah.
Nice. Now that is a great story. And you know, the episodes I've listened to recently, you know, the Enneagram and all that, you guys are compliment each other well, you know, and always when I help people start podcasts, that's the one thing I tell them is you have to learn chemistry. And the fact that you can tell that you guys been working together and kind of know how to flow off of each other. And that's always beautiful to witness. So with you guys had a lot of stuff, launch this week. Like I said, I don't know when this episode is going to drop. What kind of is the vision going forward? What are some things for us to look out for, like different topics that you got on the horizon or different projects or things going on? What do you guys got in the hopper?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things we really want to do is that in many ways we've been behind the studio and, you know, behind the microphone, but in many ways we want to get out a whole lot more onto the street, get a whole lot more mobile and into the culture and into like the world of the cults physically. And so, definitely, you know, we have things in the pipeline this year where we want to just go in different hotbeds of the cults. I mean, we've done stuff in Salt Lake City, Utah previously. We had a series called Cultish Embedded where we went up and did evangelism. And so, you know, Utah is just right next door. So we definitely want to try and do that. There's also, we've had some episodes on UFOs and aliens. So our goal next year, we'd like to go up sometime to Vegas and maybe get as close to Area 51 as we can and do like a podcast outside of as close as we're allowed to get. fun stuff like that. Yeah. I do think that we're in this very interesting cultural shift that because of what in many ways of what's happening even now in 2020 and the draconian stuff is laws and just the oppressive state is really a result of this run towards secular humanism. But I believe as the run towards secular humanism arises, there becomes people still have a Jesus shaped hole. And so there's this craving for the supernatural and the new age and the occult in many ways is kind of like the new atheism where now you get to kind of be spiritual, but still be autonomous and kind of have your cake and eat it too.
It's the atheist children's revolt against atheism diving right into the occult, you know? And our vision essentially is like, there's a kingdom of darkness, right? But the light has come into the world and the darkness shall never overcome it. So in a visionary approach, it's we want to bring the power of the gospel into the kingdom of darkness on almost every aspect in front, right? So getting down and dirty, engaging with the cults in one-on-one conversations and helping equip people, you know, to know who their Lord and Savior is, to memorize scripture and to go out and preach the gospel. Like Christ died so that we can go do those things. Like that's the most important thing, you know, and mm-hmm. give people the resources in order to do that.
Yeah. So in many ways, I believe like the next year, I think we're going to be, there's just going to be a bigger focus on the supernatural and the fringe and the world of the occult, because that's just a fascination that people have. And in fact, I don't know, the artist Kesha, who's had some, yeah, of all people, she's got her own show now, a podcast she's just debuting, and it's all about the occult, and she's going to be interviewing different mediums and mm-hmm. people who are into astral projection, you know, and she has Alice Cooper on of all people as her first guest, which is interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I thought he was a Christian.
I thought so too. So I'm interested to hear what he says, but the bottom line is that you've got someone who's a main pop star in many ways now normalizing, in many ways, things that, you know, God talked about a very long, long time ago. And then you mm-hmm. have people like Joe Rogan, who's normalizing the use of psychedelics and taking DMT and going onto this astral plane and talking to little green men. So in many ways, this is becoming a lot more normalized, where people need to have apologetics and rational answers to that. So I definitely see that being a focus in 2021.
It's crazy to think that like people are spiritually drowning. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and they've been sinking for so long. It went from this atheistic worldview to now they're just trying to reach for anything in order to have some spiritual reason for existence. And they're going to the wrong places. There's no life raft there. You know, like we're dead in our trespasses and sins, and we need Christ. We need the gospel. It's just showing us a sign of the times of the world that we're living in, that Jesus needs to be preached that much clearer, which is how we ought to speak. Right. Like Paul says in Colossians, and He's the only answer. We Christians have the answer, you know?
Yeah, no, totally, totally. I love that. I love the direction. I guess the question I have, kind of to follow up on that, because I found in my Christian journey, similar to yours, Andrew, you know, in it, and then became a teenager, fell away, and then came back. My question is, what about the supernatural, quote unquote, on the Christian side? You know, the folks that are talking about, you know, demons and you know, taking scripture out of context. And because I even remember, I used to be in the charismatic circles. Fabricating my own story, just to be honest. You know, now you look back, you be honest and like, I was lying. That was not the truth, you know? So, and I'll tell you the story. My listeners probably like, what did you say? So, I was actually at the time I was a middle school, kind of like a middle school pastor, but not necessarily a pastor title. And I was teaching the boys on, you know, demons and possession and things like that. And so after the class was over, I was packing up, you know, we were in a gym and one of the chairs slid off the wall. And I promise, like, my hairs on my neck stood up. You couldn't have told me Satan didn't walk in the gym and slid that chair down. But by the time I told somebody else, you know, all the chairs were sliding down at once. And so you guys going to address, you know, that side of the game, man, Christians that are talking about this stuff, but, you know, terribly misusing context and scripture and things like that.
I think that's a very valid point. What we don't want to do is we don't want to overemphasize the evil and spiritual warfare that's going on in the world with making people forget that the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that humans are inventors of evil. Right? So we are also extremely wicked, just as the demons are wicked. Right. So we don't ever want to overshadow that and just say everything is demons and all of this stuff like that. Well, no, the very first problem that we have as being humans is our relationship with God. Right. We're severed from him. So that is our first and main focus. And I think that is a really good that's a good area we should explore a little bit too, is like not trying to demonize everything. And there are people groups, you know, like churches that do. And that is a big issue.
Yes. Yeah. Everything was a demon, I promise. Like they got a whole, what was it? The pigs in the parlor, where they just called everything demons. The sound start messing up. You sound demon, get out of there.
You need to pray them demons out.
Pray them demons out, man.
Well, it's almost like a reverse pantheism, where instead of like all is God, it's like all is Satan. All is of the devil. I know for me, when it comes to the supernatural, I have what are called my skepticals, which, you know, when I start hearing about a lot of you know, these extreme examples of spiritual experience, yeah, in many ways I do become skeptical, because in many ways it's the invisible realm. Mm-hmm. So you kind of, it's kind of a story without having any physical or tangible proof. But right. What I think is that you need to have a level-headed way to approach it, because the Bible does talk about those things that are relevant. And just because there's an abuse of it doesn't negate its reality.
Right.
And for example, if you read Walter Martin's Kingdom of the Occult, especially in the first couple of chapters, he lays a very strong foundation of scripture to explain how the Bible is a dimensional book. You have the mm-hmm. physical realm and you have the spiritual realm, just like in Ephesians that talks about we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. But however, Satan is a prince and power of the air. So it's referring specifically to dimensions. And there's dimensions that are okay to cross over, and there's other ones that you should not cross over. And that is the realm where you get information, but it's derived from satanic power.
Right. It's not necessarily truth.
Right. So if someone starts toying around with a Ouija board and they start having spiritual oppression, or something happens and all of a sudden you invoke the name of Jesus and there's this spiritual hostility there, There's a framework without any sensationalism. There's a biblical framework. We have the physical to make sense of the spiritual, which is scripture. Mm-hmm. So I think there has to be a level-headed way to approach it. And I think many times people who experience the abuse of it tend to swing way hardcore into strict cessationism, where they just they would kind of roll their eyes at anybody talking about supernatural. I think that in that level, that's dangerous too, because I know people who've, especially in the 2 years that we've been on cultish and talking with different people who've been in the New Age, they've seen and experienced things that are all similar that can make sense with scripture. When they are dabbling in these things that God says don't do, and when they turn to Christ and they invoke the name of Jesus and they confided in Him, that's when in many ways this oppression stops. So there's a level-headed framework through Scripture to understand it. In fact, by the time that this episode drops out, which you said will be around January, we will have released a series that actually deals with aspects of demons and exorcism and a lot of those things that in many ways has been abused by, you know, certain evangelical people like Bob Larson or, you know, a lot of other extremism. But again, the extremism doesn't negate the reality at all. It assumes the authentic, it's a counterfeit, but that assumes there's an authentic. And we have to, but the ultimate way to find the authentic is through scripture, not experience.
That's right. It's like we're like walking on a tightrope, you know what I mean? Really high up, and you can fall on either side, but we have that balancing pole, and that pole needs to be scripture. We don't want to fall off of the rope. We want to stay consistent and run in the race, right? We're running the race.
Nice, nice, nice. Okay. That's, you know, that I call that alley-oop, because I heard you talking about it on the live and I wanted to go there and it just all lined up, man. So
you're perfect. Anyway. I love that.
All right, man. So right here, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Andrew Rappaport's Rap Report is a podcast providing biblical interpretations and applications. It is a ministry of Striving for Eternity and part of the Christian podcast community. We provide a biblical view of cultural events, discuss how to apply God's word to the Christian life, address issues that concern the church, and we even take some time to offer a correct understanding of those commonly misinterpreted passages of Scripture. You will hear from great guests like Justin Peters, Todd Friel, J. Warren Wallace, and Gabe Hughes. Andrew has the Rap Report Daily, which is a 2-minute Monday through Friday podcast, and then the longer Rap Report podcast for more content. Subscribe to both today by searching for Rap Report on any podcast app, spelled R-A-P-P Report, or click the podcast link at strivingforeternity.org.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place by working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, we're back in here with my good friends from Cultish. If you haven't subscribed, please go and subscribe. We'll have a link to everything they got going on in the show notes. And fellas, on this side of the show, this is where we do the bar signature questions. These are three questions I ask all of my guests. And everybody that's ever been on the show had these questions, and they're really fun, and I like to do them. So I'm going to start with Andrew again, and then we'll just go back and forth. First signature question is, what kind of music do you like to listen to?
Oh, man. I love hardcore and like death metal.
Nice.
As crazy as that sounds, like heavy music, but I also like extremely sad music that where people expose the depth of their depravity. In a sense of like the human condition. I want to hear the calling out for God or the depth of their despair when they deny God. Mm. So that's the kind of music I like. that's a good answer. I'm not sure.
Great answer. All right, Jay, what's yours? Mm. Favorite music you listen to?
Favorite music? I don't know if I have a favorite music, but I have favorite types of music.
Yeah.
And bands and stuff like that. So yeah, just a couple of them. I like some of the older, Christian contemporary music. So definitely like the old school Jars of Clay, DC Talk, Jesus Freak just has 25th anniversary. So I definitely like to crank that every now and then. I'm a huge Skillet fan. So nice. I know you've had John Cooper on the podcast before.
Yeah, man.
And, honestly, like I love his new stuff, but I think when I first became a Christian, a lot of his songs like really, because I knew everything intellectually and it was a struggle for me to like grasp like the reality that I believed in something tangible,
right.
But songs like More Faithful and like Saturn Has a Ring Around It.
Locked in a Cage.
Yeah. Locked in a Cage that like somehow marry the gospel message, like with my heart.
Right.
So,
wow.
So stuff like that. Yeah. But, and also like I'm a huge movie nerd. So like movie soundtracks.
Yes.
I like Hans Zimmer, James Newton Howard. I love good music that tells a story. So like the movie Interstellar that came out a couple of years ago, Christopher Nolan's film with Matthew McConaughey.
Out of this world.
It's amazing. Like one of the aspects of the soundtrack is it's got this pipe organ, and Hans Zimmer came up with the idea of the pipe organ because he wanted to sort of have this idea. And it's one of those giant church pipe organs too. So he kind of wanted to sort of communicate through music what it's like to be all alone in space. And it just worked so perfectly together. So that's a small thing. That's a small thing. We'll have to, yeah. I got a broad variety. That's a short answer. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Being alone in space is like a phobia of mine. Like I think about it, I start panicking.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. Next signature bar question is, What book or books are you currently reading? I'll start with you, Jay.
What books am I currently reading? Well, I've been surely but slowly getting through a book called Putting Jesus in His Place. And that's it's a book that kind of goes through the just making a case for the deity of Jesus. So it's really theologically rich. So that's a fun like theological one. And also the historically, I'm going through this book for an upcoming series on a guy named William Branham. We're going through a book by him, by a guy who's a notable historian to get in there in the future. And so that and the Bible.
Nice.
There we go.
All right, Andrew.
All right. Yeah. So I'm currently reading Slaying Leviathan. That's good. I'm only like two chapters in though, but I just finished Richard Rohr and the Enneagram Secret. That was really good. And I just finished God and Government by Gary DeMar. And that was phenomenal. So those are about three books that I, you know, two of them, I literally just finished them, you know, so that's hot off the press in my mind. But that, and I'm going to have to go with the Jesus juke like Jerry did.
Nice.
In the Bible.
Yep.
I've been reading Colossians so much, and I think it is so pertinent to the culture that we live in today with the Gnostic and esoteric thought. And Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, destroys it
in
Colossians. He drops the mic like every chapter. It's like, bah, 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 bah.
I've been in Exodus. I've been digging Exodus.
Nice. Dang. Sweet, sweet. All right. Last signature bar question, which is going to be interesting. What podcasts or sermons do you listen to? Either one first.
Dang. Okay. So I listen to Cross Politic. I listen to The Dividing Line. And I listen to Apologia Radio. So I'd say like those are like the three main ones. Oh, no, no. And the Theology Podcast. I mean, I'm reading Slaying Leviathan. So obviously I listen also to Theology Podcast. So
nice.
That's me. Sermons. I just mainly listen to the sermons from Pastor Jeff and Pastor James and stuff.
So just a couple of the podcasts that I like is, I feel like lately just because of the whole with the whole political climate, sometimes I get a little bit into listening to all the different political podcasts. There's a guy I like to listen to every now and then, but you have to take like a month breather after listening to one episode is Michael Savage. And so he's based out of San Francisco, but I believe he's retiring. So every now and then I like to listen to him. I do like to listen. There's a couple of, there's a podcast. I like Cooper Stuff. That's good. Cause I like really, obviously I mentioned his like of music. His podcast is great too. There's a podcast I listen to every now and then, the Tinfoil Hat podcast with Sam Tripoli. It kind of gives me a bearing on what the Fringe is talking about in many ways. So it's definitely a secular podcast. Joe Rogan Experience. I tune in that from time to time. Cause that's kind of like that's to get a bearing. Cause I think the Joe Rogan Experience is kind of like the digital Areopagus of the world, where all the philosophers and that's sort of like the pulse of the culture.
Right.
So in many ways you can kind of know about what's going on by listening to what's going on there. But yeah. And every now and then I still like to listen to Sheologians and Dividing Line. And I do like Ally B. Stuckey. So I like her. And every now and then I like to listen to some Michael Heiser on the Naked Bible podcast. So I always like to mix it up and keep it interesting.
Love it. Love it. A good diet of podcasts. I love that. Awesome, guys. Well, listen, I really appreciate you guys taking time out on your busy afternoon to talk to me, man. This has been really fun and highly anticipated. And, I always like to leave space at the end for kind of any words of encouragement, any closing words, and also let everybody know where they can find you guys. Either one of you guys want to take that.
I'll say one thing real quick and I'll let Andrew jump in because I mean, Andrew's always has something to say, but lately I've been thinking about this because right now there's a lot of things that are uncertain when it comes to what's going on in the world. Is there some, you know, what are, especially I think there's a obsession to kind of get overboard into conspiracies and really an obsession with things that are outside of your control. I mean, in ways that are, when things are happening that are unjust as Christians, we should have a voice to speak out against them. But in many ways, it's very easy to lose track of the big picture. And I think one of my favorite verses when I was going through Exodus was, it was when the plague of hail in Exodus 9. And this is what, and this is Exodus 9, verse 13. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning, present yourself before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time, I will send all my plagues on you yourself and your servants and your people that you may know that there's none like me in all the earth. For by now, I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But for this purpose, I have raised you up to show my power, that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." So essentially what you see there is God saying to Pharaoh that your only reason why you're here and you're in power is so that my name can be made famous.
Amen.
But if you look, very closely, if you just have a very ground level view, what you're going to see is you're going to see this corrupt secular nation that was full of occult dark arts. You had the magicians who emulated the staff turning into a serpent.
Yep.
You had, you know, everything to do with the Book of the Dead and the mummies, mm-hmm. and all those weird whatever is or isn't true about the pyramids and how they're connected to whatever, like, or what they're connected to get that information. The bottom line is that there were conspiracies. There were practitioners of dark arts. There were people conspiring and even holding God's people in slavery. But God allowed that to happen ultimately so his name can be made famous throughout all the earth. So what God said to Pharaoh there applies towards any major player, whoever is president, whoever is running China, like all the world events. Mm-hmm. That passage applies for anyone. So what I would encourage people to do is that you need to, if you look at take an aerial view of God raising up these people so his name can be made famous. And I think if you have that view of God's sovereignty, it does make life a little bit easier, especially as a Christian.
Mm. Wow. That's like a Jerry, that's mic drop, bro. Like, there's nothing
I wish I had my sound effect queued up.
I know, dude, that was beautiful, brother. Almost got like a tear coming to my eye right there. Like, yeah, we can't forget that Christ is king over every sphere of government, right? From the self-government to the family government to the church government and to the civil government. So just echoing what Jerry said, like, remember who Jesus is. Remember who is in control. Gird your loins, men. Act like men and go preach the gospel straight up.
Yeah.
Amen to that, brothers. Well, listen, thank you guys again for coming on to the show. Definitely been a pleasure and definitely blessed to have you guys and definitely excited about the connection, man. I thank God that we could partner some more and work out some more things. And I love to have repeat guests. So, you know, we might get you back on and definitely grateful for the friendship. To the Bar listeners, make sure you check out your favorite podcast, The Bar Podcast, every Tuesday. And if you were inside the Bar VIP, you actually got to listen to this live as we recorded it. And so if you want to sign up for Inside the Bar VIP, it's only $5 a month, less than a cup of coffee from Starbucks. And make sure you go to thebarpodcast.com, check out all of the shows. Go to thebargear.com to pick up some bar gear. And make sure you check out Cultish, pick up their gear. They got some gear that launched. I saw it. It looks good. I got to get something on down here, maybe even a sticker. But either way, God bless you guys. And we are out.